love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It is Loveline. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. And I know usually you're accustomed to Mr. Carolla opening the show, but I've just been informed that Mr. Carolla, his car has broken down and he is stuck on the side of the freeway. He will be here any minute. And as fate would have it, Chris, there's also traffic on the freeway tonight, which I got stuck in.
Oh, yeah.
So not only will he have his problem, he has nine cars. What possible car could have broken down?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. The Jag broke down. We haven't driven the damn thing in like 18 months. He has so many cars, he doesn't know which one to drive. Anyway, so be that as well. So he will be here shortly, but in the meantime, we will burn through some calls, and I will try to stay with stuff that's more directed towards me for a couple of minutes, and he'll be running in here any second. This is Amy, who's 19. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not too much.
This is where you tell me the problem.
Yeah. So, what are, like, signs of... I know, like, signs of pregnancy, but, like, I had sex with a guy about 8 days ago, I guess.
Great.
And, like, today I thought I started my period, which made no sense to me because it would have been a week early because I start on the day.
Mm.
And, like, I bled, and I probably bled, like, a tablespoon and then, like, just stopped. And one of my friends told me that like could be a sign of pregnancy, didn't know, wasn't sure.
Yeah, more significantly, it can be a sign of a tubal pregnancy, that any abdominal pain and bleeding when there could be a pregnancy is a tubal pregnancy until proven otherwise.
So, well, like, I haven't had any pain or anything.
All right, go get a pregnancy test. It's simple enough, and certainly at 14 days it will be accurate. And why didn't you take the morning after pill? Why didn't you use protection? Are you trying to get pregnant?
No, like, I'm on a pill.
All right, so listen, what pill are you taking?
Ortho tricycline.
And you've been taking it on the same time every day?
Yeah, well, for the most part.
What's the worst you've been off?
Maybe a few hours.
All right, you're not pregnant. I almost guarantee it. It's very common for there to be mid-cycle bleeding when you're on the pill. You know, you get a little bit of this and that, little bleeding or spotting during the menstrual period when you're not supposed to get it. And sex can kind of stimulate that thing, so that's probably why you got it. Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this name. Jadzia?
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right?
It's Jadzia.
Jadzia.
Yes. I had trouble with the call screener.
No doubt. What kind of name is that?
It's my alter ego because I believe in complete anonymity.
Hey, Drew, I would be that phone screener she's talking about, and you have her spell it for you right now.
Okay, spell
it
out.
10 minutes.
It's Anderson's our screener tonight because Brian had to go pick up Adam on the freeway. Go ahead, let's spell it.
J-A-D...
Mm-hmm.
Z-I-A.
Jadzia. And is that some out of a Clive Barker book or something? Where'd you get that?
It's a sci-fi thing.
Clive Barker?
No.
Okay.
Star Trek.
All right, well, what's going on?
Calling all nerds.
Dude.
Shut up.
What's going on?
I was curious if you knew about a program called Baby Think It Over.
No, tell me about it.
It's a program that's going through high schools. They do it in Canada, at least in Ontario that I know about. And it's a simulated baby, and it cries. It wakes you up. You have to.
Oh yeah, and you take it. You have to take it home with you, and you and your boyfriend have to be its mom and dad for a while.
Yeah.
And it pees and poos on schedule and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah, no, I have heard about that, and it's to try to make a point, obviously, about how forget even the emotional and the sort of, let's call it, spiritual obligation of a child, just the pure work involved in feeding and pooing and cleaning.
Oh,
yeah. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Do you do it?
I did it for a while, and I babysit a lot of the ones that come through now.
Why'd you do it?
I know I'm pregnant. Oh, why did I take the Baby Think It Over program?
Yeah.
I thought it would be interesting.
Not because you're thinking about having a baby. I just want to carry a baby doll around the crapped.
No, actually, it was just for pure curiosity to see how sophisticated it was.
And they let you do it for that reason? It seems like a costly thing to let people do just for curiosity.
It was part of my course.
Your course.
Part of my course.
What are you studying?
This was when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I don't do this now, but because I have friends who do. But This is when I was in high school, and they let me do it as part of the curriculum.
Take a baby home.
Yeah.
All right.
Since I live in a residential school, it's kind of, it wasn't too far from the actual school.
Residential school meaning a place for a therapeutic school where people need help?
No, I am blind.
Oh. Not even visually challenged, but actually blind.
No, I am totally blind. I can't see anything. I have prosthetic eyes.
Whoa. What happened?
I've been blind from birth. I think my mother was taking some pills to alleviate or eliminate miscarriages, and the side effect was blindness.
Yeah, but you have prosthetic eyes.
Yeah.
Why'd they do that?
So that my face would develop properly.
They were afraid that the eyes would become atrophic. Wow.
Well, because my eyes, I have baby eyes that didn't grow.
Right, right, right.
And so actually I have prosthetics and I have baby eyes.
Incredible.
And
what do you plan to do in life?
What do I plan to do? Yeah. I am going to go to university and get a degree in French.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think I'm going to teach.
Fantastic. That's huge. Well, good luck. And
I also think that your show is awesome, and I think it's quite a privilege and an honor for me to be on the show because I'm from Canada and it's a state show thing.
Oh, well, there's some good things down here, you know.
But I think you do great, and I wish you would update your website.
You know what? That's not my website anymore. The DrDrew.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my website anymore. At least three different people have owned that since I did, and I can't get at it. They won't let me change anything. I'd be happy to. And, you know, we're getting to the point where people, you know, as soon as they know you have a website, they assume that you run it or it's yours, and it's different than that, unfortunately. All right, this is now Nicola, 22. What's going on? Wait a minute. Oh, I can't. No, I got her. Nicola, 22. Nicola?
Yeah?
What's going on? You're on the air.
I just keep getting into these really abusive relationships, like mentally abusive relationships, and then
have
a really hard time getting out of them.
Great.
And
what was your dad like?
I don't. Right?
What was your dad like?
Well, he's my stepdad, and he was really good. He's been around since I was.
No, what was your biological dad like?
I never met him. He left before I remember.
How old were you when he left?
Well, originally when my mom told me, she said it was before I was born, but then I found out recently that he would come and visit until I was, like, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm. And was it horrible? Was it violent? Or was there problems between them?
No, he was a lot younger than her, and he came from, like, a really patriarchal family where they thought the women should, like, you know, like, stay at home and the men were allowed to cheat. And
oh, it's not that way anymore? Oh, I thought that's what it was. Okay. Tell me about the last relationship. What was that like? What was that guy like? How did it end?
He was schizophrenic and bipolar.
How about the guy before? Okay, say no more. How about the guy before that?
He was just really self-absorbed. And
do you tend to pick addicts, too?
Yeah, the first guy liked to drink a lot in the last
Was your mom sick or your dad sick or alcoholic? Were you a caretaker for a long time?
No. My mom liked to drink when I was younger, but never, like, all the time or during the day. Just, like, she was very social, and she'd go to, like, her friends would throw parties, and she would, like, drink there, but it was never, like, around me a lot. It wasn't, like, during the day.
And now these guys that you keep getting involved with, you're super attracted to them, right?
Well, at first I'm not, and then they fall in love with me really quickly, and I'm pretty good in the beginning about, like,
all right, what about guys you are attracted to? Why don't you go with some guys that you actually like?
I do. I just seem to get long-term with the ones. I seem to get attached to the ones who are not good for me. Like, I get over the ones who are nice and sweet really quickly.
Okay, I'm thinking about I can't remember this guy's name right. I'm trying to remember a book. Have you done any reading about codependency?
No, I was seeing a therapist for a while when I got out of my last relationship. But then I kept, like, getting back together with him, and I don't know. It didn't seem to get me anywhere, really.
How many years did you stay with that therapist?
Not even a year.
All right, well, A, that's not going to, right, that's not going to do much. And were you doing what he or she asked you to do?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, like keeping, it wasn't like a therapist, it was one of the people who are like more emotionally like, oh, come talk to me, and I don't know the different terms for all the different.
All right. The bottom line is either you're going to change these things, and you're going to choose different kinds of relationships, and you are going to sort of stand up for yourself and actually go for guys that you are attracted to, rather than waiting for guys that idealize you. You're going to actually go and present yourself and take a risk and go for somebody that you're actually attracted to, or you're going to have to get treatment. Because you're stuck in a cycle where you're consistently having the same pattern where you get yourself involved in these codependent relationships where you're a caretaker with sick people, and you need that, and probably attracted to that too, more than you even know. And they idealize you, they need you, and they lock you in a way that you can't get out. And either you're going to change that, or you're going to have to get treatment for that. And a couple of weeks... And your mom probably was an alcoholic, and one of the things you can do that's free is to go to a codependency recovery program and get a sponsor and start working the steps there.
What I wanted to ask you about was ways to really start working, because I think that's my main problem is codependency and ways to really start working on how to get away from codependency.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at this. Again, therapy would be probably an excellent way as well, but you've already sort of failed therapy and you're sort of minimizing what therapy can do for you. Codependency, you go to, like, say, Al-Anon, plain old Al-Anon, and you get in there and you talk about how people who have been ill, that you've been in codependent relationships with, affect you in your life. You pick somebody, you raise your hand and say, I need a sponsor, and you work the steps with that person. If you do not work the steps, this whole process you're in will never change. The fact is that you have to change internally so you fit differently with the people that you're involved with in relationships. Interestingly, you know, the things that cause us attraction in adulthood, we've said this many, many times in this show, usually were some kind of serious trauma in childhood. Terror, strangely enough, gets converted into attraction. We don't know why that happens, but things that were disturbing and distressing and potentially terrorizing in childhood, that sets up some kind of wiring that when you hit puberty and get into young adulthood, suddenly that becomes the kind of person you're severely attracted to, intensely attracted to, in fact. And, you know, people have theorized it's some sort of attempt to make good the traumas of the past. I think more simplistically, I just look at it as it's something gets wired in, it turns into attraction, and you go for that. Now, you can either... In her case, it was a little more confusing this, but in more just sort of general sense, what you do is, you know, don't go for people you're super, super attracted to. Go for people you're less attracted to, but kind of stay in the relationship. Don't sabotage it. Don't look for excitement all the time. And in her case, just to not look for people that idealize her and need her, because that's how she feels good in an intimate relationship, actually present herself to somebody for a real relationship where there's reciprocity. Here is Tristan, 20. Yeah, and by reciprocity, hang on, Tristan. By reciprocity, I mean a true give and take, where somebody can say, here's what I need, and you know, somebody gives that in return, and then you switch roles and vice versa. You sort of respect each other's needs and boundaries. What's going on there?
Tristan. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi. Good.
Good. Good.
Good. Good.
All right.
All right.
Yes. Okay, can I ask you my question?
Please do.
Okay, all right. I'm from Illinois. I'm not pregnant, but just curious. Can you, since you really can't have sexual intercourse when you're pregnant...
Why not?
Right? Well,
why can't you?
Is that awkward?
No. When in the latter stages, but... But even then, women tend to be very highly aroused late in pregnancy. So most people will have sex well into the pregnancy.
Oh, well, okay. I was just wondering, I don't know, I heard somewhere that the male fluid is good for, like, childbirth or something. Like, it reduces complications or something. Is that true?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You have no idea
what you're talking about. What?
What? You haven't heard that? How come I read that? Swear to God. I'm just wondering if that's true.
Where do you have to receive this load in order for it to rework its magic?
Orally.
An oral dose of a mucopolysaccharide with a bunch of sperm cells in it is somehow going to change your delivery?
No, not change it, but reduce complications.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
All right.
I'd like to see that literature. And who the hell did that study, by the way?
I have no idea. This
has to be evidence-based science before somebody tells you something is or is not the right way to approach things. And I want to know who collected that data under what circumstances.
I just read that right now in Cosmopolitan.
Right now. God, Cosmo, that is just unbelievable. Who wrote the article?
I don't know. I just closed it up and threw it because I'm like, what is that? So I had to call and be like,
right.
That's
you know, people need to. People need to sort of know how to use media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to look at who wrote these articles, what their training is, what their goal is in having written the article. They're trying to sell you a product, sell you a magazine. Yeah.
It was probably a guy just wanting to get some, wrote it. So he's just like,
are you sure you didn't see this in Maxim? That makes perfect sense for me now, Trish. Now you're thinking.
I don't know.
Listen.
I'd write that article, you know. I'd be like, hey, here's a plan, and then I'd write it. But
you're all woman there, Tristan. But listen, the deal is I'm open to everything. If somebody can show me the evidence, then I'm open to it. But, boy, that evidence is going to have to be reproducible, as they say. This is Kevin, who's 24. Kevin?
Yeah, I've been going out with my girlfriend for over 5 years, and we use the pull-out method most of the time, and she hasn't really gotten pregnant from that. So I was wondering what your take is on the whole pre-cum issue.
What my whole take is?
Yeah,
my take is that you're a very lucky man, and next time you spin the wheel, you may not be so lucky.
So what are you talking about? It's just, I think it's controllable. That's all. And most people say it's not.
Pre-cum is definitely not controllable. That is by definition something that leaks out well before the ejaculation, well before, and it's something you're not aware of. It's basically something that sort of lubricates the urethra so everything else can flow through. It's like a something that greases the path, so to speak. And it's got a lot of sperm in it, unfortunately.
Right, but I thought you'd have to really shoot to get someone pregnant. I thought it was...
Absolutely not. Why? The sperm are designed to travel up, get into the urethra, get into the mouth of the uterus, and continue traveling all the way up into the tubes. They have to go about 12 inches.
Right, but that's why I thought that the first shot is so...
No, Kevin, they have to swim 12 inches.
All right.
They swim. Your shot doesn't go anywhere except against the cervix, if that. What do you think? You think you shoot it all the way up into the ovaries? What are you talking... I just thought L.A. Unified School District was the one that was such a mess. I'm blown away. All right. I got to find something that I can answer. Brittany, 17.
Yeah, about 9 months ago, I was diagnosed with an ovarian cyst.
Great, you're 17.
And I was wondering if it was going to affect me getting pregnant later.
No way. Pretty much everybody has simple or what I call luteal cyst. That's something that basically every woman gets at some point or another.
All right.
Was it a big one? Was it simple cyst?
They wanted to take it out. They wanted to take out my ovary too, but...
Well, that's a little different than that. Why didn't that happen?
My mom didn't want it to happen. She didn't want me to have surgery.
Well, the one thing they can do is put you on the birth control pill and just follow with ultrasounds. Did they do that?
Yeah.
Has it gone away?
Yeah, it hasn't completely gone away, but it started to dissolve.
All right, so if it goes away on the pill, then it's nothing you need to worry about.
All right.
Some of them do need to be taken out because they can be more of a concern, but at your age, if it looks simple and it goes away on the pill, then you don't got to worry about it, all right?
All right, thanks.
Okay. Bye. How's the weather up there? She's in Anchorage.
Cold, man.
What? How cold is it?
Up north, it was about minus 50, but down.
Oh my God, minus 50! Yeah. That without the wind?
No, that is with wind. But down here, we're about 17, oh, zero in the night.
Balmy, it's great.
Yeah, pretty chilly.
All right.
Bye.
Have a nice dark winter. Right, there were no sun all winter long there. This is Will, 17.
Yeah.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
Yeah, I've been dumped by like 3 girls because I said I was too nice.
Yes.
And I want to know, what is that? Do they want me to be mean?
No. Tell me about the last relationship. How did you meet this girl? How did you set it up? What happened?
Yeah. Well, I met her at school.
She's just somebody who was in your class at school, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And so then we just started talking, and then she gave me her number, and then I called her and started talking to her, and then we went out a few times, and then she just said that I was too nice.
Well, that could be that you're too clingy. In other words, you're not sort of confident enough, don't have your sort of S together. That could be she's just not into you. That's just a nice way of dumping. But give me the one before that. What happened with the relationship before that?
got.
And by the way, you're 17. Things are supposed to kind of come together and not and fall apart again. And that's sort of a way of saying, let's be friends.
Yeah.
You're such a nice guy. Exactly what did she say, this last one?
You're
too nice, or you're such a nice guy, I can't handle it?
She said that you're too nice.
Too nice. Yeah. All right, give me the one before.
Okay, it was my friend's cousin.
Oh. And?
And she asked me if I wanted to go out with her, and the same thing.
And where do you take girls? Where do you take them when you take them out?
The mall, movies.
And you set it all up? You decide where they're going to go?
Yeah, usually.
Do you ever give them that, I don't know, where do you want to go?
Sometimes.
All right. The moment those words come out of your mouth, you're toast.
Okay. What is the self-confidence thing?
It's hard at 17 to really have what young women are looking for. They're looking for us. Adam actually has a very nice way of describing this. It's like somebody putting on a spelunker's hat and going, follow me.
Yeah.
And just, let's go. Of course, you're going to also meet a ton of people who are just not into you. That's just part of the whole dating experience. You're going to see people that, for whatever reason, you're going to be to them. They're not going to be you. You got to get used to things kind of coming together and falling apart. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing.
Okay.
And at least these people do not let you get involved with them before they kind of let you go. But
yeah.
It might be clinginess. You might kind of cling to them. And you might not be sort of the kind of confidence that oftentimes... Nice is not it. I'll tell you what. Nice is absolutely not it. Although many, many women go through a phase where they're kind of going for the unattainable, so to speak, bad boy, it really isn't about niceness. I mean, every human being wants to be treated with respect and reasonably. It's just more that, the fantasy of somebody who's powerful is different than the reality in a human relationship. And particularly young women need a good dose of that in order to sort of be interested. This is Bianca, 23.
Hi. I can't believe I'm on.
Here you are.
Okay, so I've been with my boyfriend since the end of middle school, and we haven't had...
Wow. Whoa, slow down. You're 23, and you've been with your boyfriend since you were 13?
I think I was 14 or 15.
Oh, I'm way off.
End of eighth grade.
Yeah, it's like 13, 14. So like almost 10 years with the same guy. Is that your only boyfriend?
8.5, yeah.
You guys have not broken up and gone out with other
people?
No. Oh, my God.
I mean, we both go to college. I graduated. I'm in professional school. But we just haven't had intercourse. We do stuff, but we just haven't had intercourse. And I feel like there's something wrong with me.
You've never had it? You're fat.
No. But, I have extreme anxiety with it. And, I mean, is there going to be something wrong later if we just wait, or...
No, I don't think so. I'm surprised your boyfriend isn't sort of making an issue of this. I'm confused. Hold on. Whoa, slow down now. What is it you guys do?
We have oral sex and make each other happy.
Have a happy oral sex relationship. Nice. All right.
We pretty much do everything except anal or intercourse.
No, okay. Why would you even bring anal? Why would you put anal on the menu? You guys haven't had genital intercourse yet. Oh, done everything except. I'm very, very frightened about intercourse, but anal's there on the spec. All right. Anyway, so what is it that prevents you from having intercourse?
I think it's a lot of things. I mean, we almost did about a year ago, and then I freaked out, and then.
Were you sexually abused growing up or something?
I was sexually assaulted before I met him.
At what age?
I guess 14. It was probably a year before I met him.
And was there intercourse involved with that?
No.
And was there any sexual assaults as a child?
No.
Nothing like that, huh?
No. I mean, I think I have, I'm diagnosed with anxiety, so I don't know if that might contribute.
Yeah, I have anxiety too, but it doesn't sort of focus on that area. Why are you so freaked out about that? And are you afraid of getting...
I guess one of the biggest fears is possibly getting pregnant.
Okay, well, why don't you guys take care of that?
Why don't you
get on the pill and wear a condom, and then there's no possibility of a pregnancy. How about that?
I'm also afraid of the pain.
I doubt there's going to be any pain at 23, or at least not much.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because I was talking to somebody at school, and he was saying, because he grew up with a bunch of Mormons, and he was saying that there is a thing you can go to OBGYN, and they can help, I guess.
Yeah, Mormon? They can, but usually you don't really, Bianca, you don't really need that. Listen, every woman on earth has a first time. Does everybody go have a surgery to prepare for that? Have you heard that it's overwhelmingly painful, that women are being stricken with this wherever they may be? Come on. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anybody say that it's the suffering of humanity brought to bear through the female the first time they have intercourse? No, that's just, it's uncomfortable a little bit. Sometimes. Not even always. Thank you, Anderson. Very good times. That's good. But listen, there's something much, much more going on here, and I'm not quite sure what it is, and certainly your anxiety disorder has part of it. But it seems like you need to kind of get over this. It sounds to me kind of like it's getting weird. It's at the point where you've been in a relationship so long that, you know, that it's kind of like you needed to do this thing a long time ago, and you have it, and now it's gotten weird. And you're sort of trying to do it, and you can't. He's freaked out about it. He's worried about hurting you and anxiety and pregnancy. Get on the pill. Put on a condom. Go ahead and do this gently and slowly. I'm sure this guy's waited, although God only knows, this guy may just go insane after having waited this long, but hopefully he will be sensitive to your discomfort and kind of go slow with it, and it'll be fine. It will be fine. You're already having oral sex. You know how weird it is, somebody my age, when oral sex was something that came much later. That was almost considered like deviant, intimate thing that some people did occasionally, to come so far ahead of...
That's the past now.
I understand that, but why intercourse has to be such a if they're having mutual oral sex, why intercourse has to be such a huge leap?
I don't know.
Already involved in these intermediate things, the intimate things.
We are late for break, and Adam's outside and he can't get in. So,
okay, great, we'll get him.
All right, bye.
All right, we're gonna go to break now. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. When we return, it will be Drew and Adam. Bye.
Hey, everybody, I'm back. Yeah, car broke down. And let me tell you something about Los Angeles. When that car breaks down, it's never in a good neighborhood. It's never in a good neighborhood. It's always bad. Because the freeways, here's the thing about Los Angeles. The freeways usually run through the crappy neighborhoods for the most part.
That's where they bought all the land. And
if you're on the freeway and the thing breaks down. But let me tell you, I got a few things to say. First off, when you break down on the freeway or on the highway, it is your job, because you're going 75, to get the F off the freeway. Yes. You know, the people that are actually stopped in the fast lane or just stopped. The ones that are just stopped in the middle, they're like, well, you just coasted for 4 miles? You didn't, no, nothing? Not, no, okay, once in a while it's bumper to bumper and you blow a head gasket, what are you going to do? Even in that case, put the car in first and just keep working the starter until you can inch your way onto the shoulder. I can't, and by the way, there's nothing more dangerous than you sitting out there.
Absolutely.
Forget about us who are being held up and actually wishing you're dead. You may actually be dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get clipped by a drunk driver in a semi.
That's, by the way, the guy that gets out of his car, too. That's the same guy.
I like that guy.
Yeah,
yeah, he's got to run across and get his coffee. He's got a travel mug in there full of Sanka. He's got to get that. So I'm in the fast lane, and all of a sudden notice a serious power decrease in the vehicle. So immediately fire up the hazard thing, you know, into neutral, blinkers on and going over. Nursed it up the off-ramp, made it down to a gas station down on Rampart and Hoover, tough neighborhood. Of course, the guy behind at the gas station was Murph from the old 76 commercials.
Oh, good.
Red,
so just
hair,
ran out,
gentleman,
ran
running
with a
out
little
there.
Rag. He was wrenching on something.
It was like one of those commercials. Mr. Carolla, what can we do you for? We're going to burn some midnight oil. You got to make that radio show. Offered me a cup of Postum while I waited. Or was it the surly foreigner?
I'm going to imagine the picture. Let's see.
And by the way, you breaking down, like you getting your car to a gas station in Los Angeles, you think that's it's Ali oxid free, like you've hit your safe zone?
No,
the troubles just began. I mean, you're not on the freeway. You're not going to get clipped. You're not going to get shiv put in you by a gang member anymore. But worse.
Well, let me try to pick.
You got to deal with him.
You got the steely eyed guy, but then you start to interact, and it's, this can't stay here.
Don't
stay here.
Well, first
off, parking lot.
Everything is all part of an elaborate ruse, so you can steal like a bottle of Pepsi or something.
Yeah.
What is here? Listen, my car broke down. Well, you cannot leave. Was there a mechanic? No, he's not. You know, it's like, first off, I know, yes, you should be very suspicious. People are taking their expensive cars in the middle of the night in their sweatpants. Thank Christ, is this close to wearing my slippers? This close. You want to know how lazy? You want to know how close I was to wear my slippers to work tonight? I walked out of the house with one shoe on and one slipper on, knowing or hoping that the other shoe was in the car.
In other words, so whichever you found first is what you wore. Yeah.
I was in my driveway, one slipper on, and that's first thought. Thank Christ, not my slippers.
Yeah, it's like by the way he sees this.
Oh, I know if I'm wearing underpants. You know, that's going to work that out. That's anyway, good. Point is there I am at the gas station now. I've nursed the car in and parked it somewhere out of the way. It's not in the filling station part. It's off to the side. But, you know, so listen, I got to leave my car here. Is there a mechanic? This cannot stay there. You know, it's off the side as far as I can get. No, it needs, you know, now the thing's probably got a blown head gasket or something. It's time to fire it up again so I can.
Oh, he made you move it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's nice. I can hear the valves hitting the top of the pistons as they run into each other inside my engine. You know, it's like, of course it's on the other side. You park it over. I was like, okay, where's the mechanic? When's the mechanic? He's not here. He's here tomorrow. Okay, all right.
By the way, same gas station doesn't mind having El Camino parked out there all day.
Listen, but here's the kicker. $10.
Oh, he's going to charge you.
Because, again, part of an elaborate ruse. I want to do some.
Well, you're taking advantage of him.
I want to hit the Ranchero Club across the street. And, you know, I'll be boozing all night with my Latin ladies over there. I can get out of the $4 parking fee behind the club by parking over here.
How dare you?
But I put a little smoke bomb under my hood, and I push my car in. And by the way, this is my outfit I wear when I go out and see the ladies, the sweatpants with the sweatshirt and the sweat stain.
Now, that guy's not the shop owner you're dealing with.
Yes, he owns.
So that $10 going right in his pocket. He's like,
he owns the garage. He owns the gas station, but the guy who does the garage part is not around.
No way.
So here's the deal. Now, I can get my $10 back if they work on my car.
Okay.
You know, but the notion that we've come, you know, here's what the gas station used to be. You need a ride. You need some gas. You want to borrow a can.
Yeah.
You need a crescent wrench.
Yeah.
Let me give you a hand. You want me to check that oil?
Yeah.
Now it's... Your car breaks down at a gas station in the middle of the night.
It's trouble.
You tell the guy, when's the soonest the mechanic can show up? He tells you 8 the next morning. You say, fine. He needs a deposit? The car's broken down.
He's got the car.
He's got the car. Oh, it is just, here's all I'm saying. All you a-holes, all of you actors, all of you writers, all of you models that are planning on coming here from, you know, Wisconsin and Iowa, North Dakota, be prepared for this because they don't tell you about that. It's you guys got, your beautiful weather. You got the bikini girls. You got the beach. You got the palm trees. How about getting effed every time you go to the gas station? How about every time you go to the market? Everything you do, you have to. Every transaction is through 4 inches of lucite. You have to talk into a sliding drawer. Think about that. I don't think you know what that is. I mean, when you're from whatever town you're from, and your
remember
car
us in Wisconsin, we tried to get a we were looking for a restroom, bathroom, and then we went in there, and they're like, "Hey, howdy, it's right over here." We were like, "Oh, what?
Come on in!"
No, we're gonna get jumped back there. Something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, she actually, nice blonde chick behind the counter said I could make into her hand. She said, sweetie, just do it right in my hand. That's okay.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Yeah, squeegeed my ass and we were on our way. No, you move to Los Angeles, be prepared.
Yeah.
You will be getting the stink eye from everyone who owns a gas station.
And a convenience store.
Oh,
they're all the same guys.
Yeah. And it's all.
Anything convenient.
Here's the thing. You are guilty until proven innocent. You come in there.
No, it's a little more elaborate than that because it's guilty until proven innocent, and then we got to take advantage of you.
Right.
Now you're an object of victimization. Once we know you're not guilty, we're going to victimize
you. No, it cannot. My car, but what is car? It is break down. No, what are you doing? No, it says not.
$10.
Listen, my car, it's broken. I don't think I can move it. Can I just leave it here over? No, the guy, he coming. No. It's like, ugh. For the love of F, really? Couldn't just, not just one guy. There's not one goddamn guy in this city. It's just like, hey, buddy, it's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's a bitch. Yeah. You got a ride? Oh, like the part about them even saying like...
Well, think about it. If somebody did something like that, you think, okay, what is he up to?
Yeah, he's going
to
rape me in the bathroom.
Something's wrong. Yeah,
he's gay.
Something's
wrong. He's coming on to me. Yeah, is there a guy, by the way, in Los Angeles says something like, you want me to use the phone, call a cab or something? Like, forget about that part. It's just, no, cannot park.
Well, think about this.
Cannot.
Where is a good place in L.A. to break down?
Nowhere.
Is there any place in your own home?
No.
That you can car and break down that you're going to be okay?
Here's what I would imagine. I would imagine if you lived in, like, Beverly Hills, maybe the Palisades.
Or like Woodland Hills.
Malibu, some expensive area. You used the same station over and over again and had a rapport with the pit bull that was in the glass chamber.
Yeah.
Maybe would work out. But anything other than breaking down at your local thing in your nice neighborhood just down the street that you do all your business at, forget it. Right. It's all just suspicion and, no, cannot, what? No, it's like,
But the thing about it is, if you pick around the street, they're going to tow your car. I mean, because you can't park between hours of 2 and 5,
oh, no.
and they're going to take your car. You can't go to, like, a parking structure because they're going to let you in.
Please, all the people that work in the gas stations in the greater Los Angeles area, will you please go back to wherever armpit that you come from? Please, just go get on a plane, go to your mother, Scrotumburg or whatever, that smelly black hole of, I can only imagine the crap filled nation you're from, because everyone is just a complete a-hole. And please understand, it's not a goddamn Turkish bazaar. Not everything is wrangling. Not everyone's looking for an angle. Everybody in Los Angeles that owns a gas station is a goddamn auctioneer in a Turkish bazaar. It's like, I'm not buying, no, it's not white slavery ring. I'm not trying to buy cattle or a camel. I just want to drop my goddamn car off. It's not, what this guy, what this here? No, you cannot. You know, it's like, really? It's business. Can we just, I'll give you some money, you fix the effing car? It's got to be like, everything's got to be an angle. Can I leave my, and by the way, you know, if I said, listen, you ask them something, look, I'm going to need to drop off $100 and give you a BJ with that. No, cannot, no. You know, it's like, if it's your idea to do anything, forget about it. Listen, Habib, I'm going to need you to bang my wife while I go ahead and put a coat of carnauba wax on your van. Is that cool? No, cannot, what? No. It's like, if they figure it out, it's cool. If it's your idea, it's not going to, you know, if I'd parked my car on the other side of the lot, he would have had me move it back to where it was. It's awesome. It's awesome. This is a great city. Come on down. Come on down. Pack up those crappy cars and come on down. Let the abuse begin. I'm telling you, people, you don't know what you're in for, and they never talk about it.
No one ever does.
Oh, we got the Rose Parade, we got Malibu Beach, and the sun is shining. Come on down and get yelled at by some foreigners. Come on down, everybody. It's beautiful. All right, let's take a break, Drew.
Oh, no, I'll take a call.
No,
take a call.
No.
No, let's not take a call.
Hold on,
no
you
calls.
Want me to take a call?
No calls, no calls.
No calls?
No
yes,
calls.
We take calls.
Okay.
Yes, it's a call. Nikki?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep.
What's happening, baby doll?
I've been masturbating since forever, and I want to know if it's, like, desensitizing and if it's permanent.
What have you been using?
Showerhead.
Ooh.
Well, no. I mean, that's...
But it's the kind that's actually mounted up on the wall.
Not the kind you can pull off?
No. This is 6.5 feet, and it's actually hard plumbed. Oh. Right in the line. She's getting up there. She's got to pull herself up. I mean, it's dangerous.
No, man. Yeah. It's the kind that comes off.
Oh, okay. All right.
Before and you I knew feel, what masturbating was.
Yeah. Right. You shouldn't be desensitized significantly by that. And really? It's basically a healthy thing for you to do.
It's
fine.
So then it's my boyfriend's fault if I don't get off when he's fingering me?
Yes. Don't expect that. You don't expect much out of males unless you show them exactly what you need.
Yeah. The fingering thing is...
That's a tall
very
order.
Very overrated.
Yeah. It's overrated. A tall order for an 18-year-old male.
Yeah. And
18-year-old? No, he's not 18, my friend.
Okay, any male.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, fingering, you break out the finger as an adult about as much as you break out the Ovaltine. Like, it ain't on
and the
menu.
Postum. Postum's on the menu.
Postum and Ovaltine.
About the same amount of time.
Fingering, postum, and Ovaltine. Yeah. It's like,
they all go together.
It's not on the menu anymore.
Not alone, not individually.
just it ain't on your adult menu.
No.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
Last time you did the fingering, so last time you had SpaghettiOs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. remind me when we get back from the break to tell you, I went to Atlanta and went to a functional MRI lab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I got in the MRI scanner, and they showed what my brain does in response to pornography.
Really?
Oh.
Wow. It's a fireworks show, huh?
Comedy.
Interesting. All right. MRI with Drew after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Better late than never. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Drew was in Atlanta doing a little functional MRI work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a regular MRI and a functional MRI?
Regular MRI just shows the anatomic structures. The functional MRI shows what they're doing, mm-hmm. how active they are metabolically.
Right. So now you did what with this experiment?
We had a couple, and we put them in. We were showing the difference between males and females in response to basically these pictures. You lie in the scanner, and they have a little mirror over your head, and they start showing you pictures.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, in this couple, we showed the wife and the husband, and then we show some male erotica, and then we show some neutral pictures like of hamburgers and pizzas and mm-hmm. you know, bike racing and mountain scenes, and then pow, then you get into the pornography.
Right.
And you can basically compare the brain activity and the regions of activity in neutral versus the pornography.
But neutral meaning just, so that's riding a bicycle.
Riding a bicycle.
All right.
Or looking at kittens or something. It's just some sort of neutral.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be not looking at kittens? Shouldn't it just be looking at the, you know, a wall?
Yes, they have different kinds of neutral.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how they arrived at neutral, but there were different kinds of, you know, obviously food, if you're hungry, will light up a little different.
Right.
Than looking at the bicycle race.
Right. All right. So what did you find out?
For myself, although what we found out is that men have this amygdala response, which is a part of the brain that responds, sort of makes for novelty and arousal.
Right.
And sends information to the drive centers immediately in men. Boom. You start having drive right away. Women, mm-hmm. uh-uh.
They don't have
drive. They light up with arousal, but no drive. And in my own particular case, the scientist who's seen hundreds of these functional MRIs puts mine up there and recoils.
Really?
Goes, oh, whoa, whoo.
Not ready for
happy your, brain.
Not ready for your passion.
I got to get you that picture.
Really?
Because it is living color evidence of the passion.
Really?
Yeah, it was deep amygdala response, to use his words.
And
deep bilateral amygdala.
Now, does it matter, like for me, you know, there's porn and then there's porn.
Mm.
Half the crap I don't like. You know
they
I mean?
Happen. They happen to show stuff that I found pretty appealing, as it turns out.
Yeah, but I mean, is that an aspect of it? Because there's stuff I could see where it'd be like, holy Christ, and there's other stuff I'd see. You know, chick's got a bad tat, and a bad boob job, and like, eh.
Right. And it was a pretty. There was a many dozens of pictures, so you're gonna find something you like in there.
Well, and let me say this too. There's certain depictions. I mean, there's certain kinds of food that you don't like, and there's certain kinds of porn that you don't like. I mean, you could.
Well, what they did was the way they got the pictures was they had women pick them out. They wanted the most arousing pictures to women. You've always said I'm a chick, so the most arousing pictures to women, and because we were trying to get women to respond as much as possible in the study, and still have it be different than men.
Now, what about when you beat off in the machine? Was there a problem there?
Yeah, the thing's a huge magnet.
Yeah.
And you can imagine.
Yeah,
it was a mess.
Yeah, because you'd taken an iron supplement
a couple days earlier that morning.
No,
it was actually
a couple days before.
So it was in my seminal vesicle.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, so what did you learn other than what we already knew, which was your passionate?
That, you know what I thought was interesting is that when they just showed pictures of, they have some sort of pictures of just women, sort of attractive women, and I get this orbital frontal activation, which is something I've always thought that I do, which it's sort of an empathy thing.
Is your wife going to get mad at you when she sees it?
We actually were filming something for Discovery Health, and I apologized to her profusely. And not only just because of the reaction, but also because this is something she complains about. not my fault.
Well,
it's my brain.
I mean, but if you're out to dinner and a good-looking woman walks by, you have to pretend like you don't notice. But now she knows you know.
Didn't even think about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She knows there's some frontal lobe or some amygdala activity going on when you're saying, "Ah, I didn't even notice."
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I was looking at her shoes. Yeah. So I just mean, but she knows.
Here's the other thing. The other thing is there was a very comical thing in my visual cortex. He goes, whoa, look at this pattern. You were really interested in these pictures. There's a pattern of high intensity like scanning.
So they just show a picture of a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And you would show more interest and thus passion than the average guy.
Yeah. Well, the other guy was there in the scanner, too, and his was
not doing
woefully
it. Really? Behind, yeah. Not a passionate man.
Not at all. And interesting, everyone knew kind of what their scans were like. Everyone kind of knew, like, yeah, that's me. Yeah. Yep. Because the guy would sort of mind read. He'd go, oh, you have this kind of activity and this kind of activity, and here's this going on and that going on. And people go, oh, yeah, that's me.
All right. Now, what about my lie detector machine now?
No, I didn't, but I'm in communication with him. I'll send him an email tomorrow, and I will talk
about it. Please. Yeah. All right. Well, now we got to take another break.
All right.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Now it's actually time for the show. It's time for that part of the show where we actually take calls.
No way.
What do you say?
What part is that? I'm confused.
It's the second hour.
Oh, okay.
I complain about foreigners in the first hour. You're talking about functional MRIs.
Yeah.
Second hour, we take calls.
Oh, okay.
Take some calls. Faith?
Hello?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have been dating this man, actually, for 5 years. I met him when I was 16. He was 26. Recently, over Christmas, we got engaged, and about 3 days ago, I found out that I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. We had planned on going to school in a few months, in September, and finished school. We had everything planned out. And
Why is he not done with school? He's 31.
Well, because he dropped out. He actually has other kids, and because of that, he's gone to school but never finished.
Talking about high school or junior college?
Just college in general. He went to Louisiana Tech for a while and had a year left and moved to Enid with his family.
He's out in Enid?
Yes, Enid. Have you guys ever heard of Enid?
Love, who hasn't?
We do the show from Enid.
We're there now.
Oklahoma, right?
Oh, yeah. Louisiana.
I mean, Louisiana. He's out in Eden, Louise?
It's not that hick, you know. I have a...
And by the way, how do you spell Eden? Is that E-A-T-O-N?
Is she saying Eden or Eden? Or how do you spell it?
E-N-I-D.
E-N...
Enid.
I-D.
Old lady's name.
Enid, yeah. Yeah, we used to hunt for nutria out that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know... Every once in a while, I like to go out and hunt squirrels and stuff like that. But
sure,
it does.
Sure.
That's good.
All right, so he's got how many other kids?
He's got three kids from three different women.
All right.
Oh, well, what a man.
Yeah, this guy's a keeper. You don't let him out of your sight.
And especially since he got you at 16. I mean, that really means he's...
Hang on in with both hands.
Yeah, hang on.
Let me just... I'm going to make a wild guess here. Because I know people.
I know, too. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. I know those people. And I put it together. 26.
Hunting squirrels.
Dating a 16-year-old. I'm talking about this guy.
Oh, he is. Well, dating someone who hunts squirrels. That's her.
He's 26. She's 16. When they meet, he's going out to Louisiana Tech.
Three other kids.
Moved out to Enid. Three other kids. This will be his fourth kid with as many wives or gal pals. I'm going Jew.
Oh, absolutely.
It's 100%.
100%.
Gotta be.
Well, I could tell it, but...
Now, what temple do you guys attend? He's Jewish, right?
No, we're both Catholic, actually.
What?
No way. No
what?
Way.
No way. No way. Drew and I know people. We know people. There's no way this guy's not a Jew. You gotta ask him. Maybe he converted or something.
To Catholicism.
Catholicism, yeah. Right. He's definitely born a Jew.
He's a Jew for Jesus.
Oh, I know the behavior patterns when I see them. Go ahead, Faith.
Well, as we've been together, I mean, he used to be into a lot of drugs and did a lot of things that you wouldn't normally...
It's all adding up, Adam.
But he cleaned himself up, and everything's been going great. We got engaged. We
I'm just trying to pick, picture her dad.
We're all ready to go, right?
Yeah. Why, by the way, why do you have to hitch your wagon to his S team? You know what I mean? Is there no other mule that you can hitch your wagon to? You got to get the lame one who's incontinent, who's got an attitude problem.
With three legs.
With three legs, yeah. There's not just a healthy mule that's about your age that you can go ahead and hook up with. You got to get the one with the baggage, the bunches of kids, 10 years older, the drug abuse history. You're 21.
Yeah, I know, and that's a lot of what I've been thinking about lately. And
just, who is her dad? Picture the dad in the trailer. They live.
Rabbi. Now, what'd your dad do wrong? What happened?
They're actually, you know, my mom is a drug and alcohol counselor and a family and marriage counselor.
Yeah.
And my dad works for the Department of Human Services. I mean, my mom has been analyzing me my whole life, and I know, I have a very close-knit family that, you know, nothing
Hold on. She says close-knit means they stab each other with knitting needles.
Knitting, yeah, knit. Close.
That's what she actually means, yeah, close enough to do that. Oh, wait a minute. I hit the wrong one there.
Hold. One.
Where the hell are we?
One.
He says a kid or whatever.
Faith, was mom being an alcohol counselor, was she a drug addict when you were growing up?
No, not at all.
Well, what went so horribly wrong? Did your dad physically or sexually abuse you?
No, not at all.
And by the way, your mom analyzing you is not going to help you. If she knows that you've got problems, she needs to refer you for
why do
help.
You make such crappy decisions?
Well, you know, I was trying to figure that out myself.
Hey, stop figuring it out. Just change direction here.
Yeah, how about you get away from this guy?
I've tried. I moved to Tulsa for 2 years, and we've always managed to get back together. And he's always
all right. Now you have to just be fat. That's all. You're big gal, right?
But now I have his kid. Now what do I do?
Are you a big gal?
Am I big? Oh no, yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
Why would I have to be big?
This is how a big woman acts. Your regular sporty 21-year-old doesn't do this.
Unless she's been abused.
Huh?
All right. Well, now I'm going to bad teeth, but I don't want to keep breaking it down. Faith, this guy obviously is a bad guy because you can tell by his patterns of cranking out children with women and then moving on to the next one. And when I'm in charge, by the way, we're going to snuff these guys out because if you really look at it, whenever they talk about how we're going to control your termite problem, your roach problem, your ant problem, you got to go to the nest.
Get the queen.
Yeah. You know.
Get where they're all being produced. Yes.
Whoever's producing them. Yeah. Yes. Every it's like they take the bait, they take it back to the nest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's effective roach control isn't a slipper.
Right.
You got to get to the root of the problem. This guy's the root of our problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting his root in all these nests, and hence four kids now. This is his fourth kid that he won't be taking care of, and that'll be our problem one day soon.
One more quick question with him.
All right. I can't believe he's not Jewish.
Faith. Of course he is. Yes.
What's his first name? Like Kevin or something?
No, it's Aaron.
Aaron
from Aden.
Ask him if his real name is like Velva or something like that, or Moshet or something.
We've never had any problems, and I told him, I just found out a couple days ago, and I told him, and it just, you know, I've had no reaction from him. I've asked him what he wants to do. I've already had one abortion 2 years ago.
With him?
By him. Yes.
Oh, come on, Faith. What are you doing?
Now that I've done it, you really don't know until you actually do it. And with some people, they just...
So therefore, Faith, you get pregnant again? Because you know how much you don't want to do that? You get pregnant again?
Yeah.
No excuses. Stop. I don't want to hear anymore. Here's the deal. How is his recovery going? How many meetings does he go to a week? You met a sponsor?
No, I have not.
How much contact does he have with his sponsor?
Well, I don't think he actually goes anymore.
Okay, well, he's using then, too. So That's it. You don't were a drug addict and then not a drug
addict. You just join the ranks of his chicks he's knocked up and kids he's not going to take care of. That's you. You didn't learn your lesson. And by the way, look, if you told me you were, you know, horribly abused and molested, I wouldn't be so mean to you. But just turns
well,
out
yeah, you would, but...
you're just stupid. That's all. Your parents were there. They were good for you. You just got hooked up with a bad guy and you're pig-headed. And now you got a kid and you good luck raising him with a... alcoholic dad. He's not going to be around. He's an idiot.
Well, the thing, you know, I don't know. I haven't done any real research on figuring out, because I'm going to school for graphic design, and pretty soon I'll be going to Dallas to work for Fossil for advertising.
Fantastic. I bet that's never going to happen. What are you going to do with your kid?
Well, see, that's the thing. Now it's changed all my plans, and I...
Shocking.
I'm either going to have to put it off and just wait until it's old enough.
Well, look, yeah, that's what you got to do. I mean, look, what do you expect?
All
right, listen. Look, here's the thing, everyone. Listen,
this is the problem with pure rationality right there. You can rationalize your way in and out of everything. Yeah,
He loves me. No, you don't understand him.
I've been thinking about it, and here's what I figured out. It's like, no.
I like the idea. I like this one, too. He's changed. By what? Not changing? You know what I mean? What's he done to change?
Yeah, where's the pattern changing here?
What has he done? Is he deep in therapy, and he's given up the drugs, and he has a sponsor, and he's doing the step? Is that change, or he just talks a little differently to you? I don't understand. Like, let me explain what stupid is, everybody. Everybody Fs up. Everybody Fs up. People even F up multiple times, but the true losers in society do the same thing over and over and over again. Not two times, 28 times. That's what makes a loser. The bad move, the bad decision, everybody does that. And sometimes it costs you. Sometimes you end up with a kid. Sometimes you end up with AIDS. Sometimes you end up dead. By and large, you get to make a couple of mistakes. Here, all right, let me explain what the universe is.
Probability.
Not fair, not unfair, doesn't care.
Neutral.
God, if there is a God, he's not on the job. Or he certainly doesn't care about your ass, or certainly doesn't seem to have any hand in anything. So, okay, let's just say, I'll go along with you idiots. There is a God, but please at least come with me this far. He's not getting involved. It's like you saying, I'm in a fight on a schoolyard. I got my big imaginary buddy. He ain't stepping in. So whatever it is, if you're going to get your ass, and by the way, this kid could be pounding your head against the curb. He ain't stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he's there or not, well, neither here nor there, because he ain't stepping in, obviously. Maybe when the bully cracks your head against the curb and eventually you die, you can go up and ask him why he didn't step in. That might be a first question for him. But only then will you be having contact with him. I've figured this out. I've seen enough good people die, enough horrible things happen to innocent people, and enough good things happen to horrible people to realize he ain't stepping in. So throw out the high, throw out the low, throw out your imaginary buddy in the sky, and what you have is a bunch of events. And some people break down one time in the car, get out, and get killed on the freeway. Some people get away with it 500 times. But there's an average for just about everything.
Hmm.
You can screw without a condom. There's a pretty good chance you're not going to get anyone pregnant, and there's a pretty good chance you're not going to get AIDS or Hep C or whatever. Pretty good chance. But if you do it 150 times, 500 times, 1,000 times,
there you go.
There you go. That's pretty much how it works. Now, some guys get to have sex 5,000 times, never get anything. Some guys, condom breaks one time, they got something. It's unfair to focus on either one of those extremes because that ain't you.
Mm-hmm.
You're somewhere in the middle that's making that middle line up, the medium line up, all right? This is what everyone has to think. You get a few F-ups, and you continue. Everyone can make an F-up and move on. It's usually no harm, no foul, no kids, no AIDS, no cleaned out by the trucker on the side of the freeway. But you make a few, and you keep going, then you're a loser. That's how it works, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because you screwed with the odds. All right? All right. So, Faith, he got you pregnant. You had the abortion. Remember how horrible that was? Pow. Right back on top of this guy.
Are.
And you didn't check the fact that this guy's 10 years your senior and has three other kids with three other women. That doesn't factor in. No. Not a
but
factor.
But you don't understand. I've been thinking about
this
it.
Is me.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah.
This is different. Really? Mm. He didn't say that to broad number two or broad number three. No? Angela?
Hi.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
When I was a teenager, like 16, 17, I was molested by my mom.
All right, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Who, again?
When I was a late teenager.
Yeah, Julie. Of course.
I was molested by my mom.
Your mom.
Not me just molested. I mean, she would give me oral.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Play with me. And
incredible. That's a rare one. Is your mom a drug addict?
No drugs, no alcohol, nothing like that.
All right, well, she's old-fashioned that way.
What's her diagnosis?
She must have a brain tumor or something then.
You still have a relationship with her?
I still talk to her, actually, yes, and I don't know why. But
yeah,
my big question was, the way she molested me is the only way I can have orgasms.
Well, at most 21-year-olds, that's the only way.
Because,
in fact, most women, period, but certainly at 21.
Yeah.
So that probably has nothing to do with the orgasm, with the trauma. The fact that you can be with anybody at all and have orgasms is rather extraordinary.
We got to get the mom hooked up to their functional MRI. Wait a minute, Angela.
I'm sorry.
All right, hold on. Your mom, not a drug addict, not an alcoholic.
No, wouldn't even smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
What is
must have been abused like a pinata growing
actually,
up.
Actually, I finally got it out of her. Well, I finally got it out of her that her mom had molested her too, but like after I got it out of her, she started like crying, saying she never molested me, hung up on me. I was abused too, physically, by both parents.
What? How does she pull it off with you as a teenager?
The molestation went from what age to what age?
She was always abusive with me and my brother, and then basically when my dad left, a few years later my brother left, and it was just me and her.
Mm-hmm.
She kept me very enclosed. I was only allowed to go to school and back. She never went outside the house. She didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And she just got her first ID a couple of years ago.
How did she support you?
With child support from my father.
Yeah.
And, you know, money from relatives.
She played the French horn in the orchestra.
I thought it was the oboe.
Second chair.
Mm.
I was only allowed to go to school, and so I was very enclosed. Only school and the grocery store, you know, to do
so this is sort of like a Stockholm syndrome where she had control over you.
Yeah, exactly. And she was, and now this abuse or sexual abuse went on from what age?
It started, my brother left when I was in ninth grade. So I was probably about 14. So it probably started around 15, 16, 17.
I didn't know
it was wrong until about the last year. I was just so embarrassed, and I didn't know that, you know, other people didn't do it. I was just so enclosed. And
well, they do, but it's about 30%, 40% of American families. And first off, I don't know what your culture is. We cannot judge. It's impossible to judge.
Many parts of the world.
Many parts of the world, this goes on.
I was born and raised in the L.A. area. I was born in East L.A. I grew up in Chino.
We can't. You're Hispanic?
I'm quarter Hispanic, half Irish, and a quarter Norwegian.
All right. Well, we can't judge any of those things. So whatever you do is whatever you do. It's impossible to judge.
You sound remarkably sane from what you've been through.
Well, because I've been through worse. You know, I accidentally, I got married for a year. And that was an abusive, not only was it physically, but he raped me for a year.
He what?
He raped me for a year.
Hmm. I would imagine you'd experience anything as rape.
Mm. No, that was physical, throw me down, pin me. And then
next
year I got in a year relationship with a mentally abusive person. So I just stopped dating. There's been a time.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing, Angela. You got, here's your two choices in the dating realm. One is finding actual abusers and dating them. Two is finding guys who aren't really abusers and deciding they're abusing you.
Or
making them
abusers. Or number three, making them abusers. Or number three, finding reasonable guys and sabotaging that. Making sure that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm still curious, how does your mother initiate this whole thing? How did that happen? A teenager.
We've all had that conversation you with your father, not your mother.
Well, she would just always... She would always ask me to, like, walk around naked, and then it just stemmed into she wanted me to lay down and because I was a virgin up until I almost was 18.
Yeah.
And she was just saying, you know, this is what it's going to feel like when you're with a guy.
And that's, by the way, the virgin, that's one of those good news, bad news things. So, like, 18-year-old guys getting on to, you're gonna be my first. Okay, that's great. Here's the baggage part. This is a little baggage. What happened? Some guy gave you a little finger action or something?
You're close. Close. Yeah. Not some guy.
All right, Angela.
Yes.
Here's the deal, baby doll. You can be angry at your mom. You should be angry at your mom. You just have to know that your mom was had the same and more done to her during her childhood. You should really be mad at not only your mom, but your mom's mom. And
for
any
setting
dude.
This all up, and dad for leaving you with this woman.
Yeah, your dad too.
Yeah, my dad. I keep trying to. I've told him about what happened, and all he could say is sorry. He just does not talk. I can't get him to talk.
Yeah. Does he apologize for leaving you with her?
Yeah, he just says sorry that he tried for custody for about maybe half a year, and then he just gave up because my mom's just really crazy.
All right. Well, we do hear a lot of this, by the way, and tons of guys, a bunch of just cowards, by the way, who do that. That bitch is nuts, man. I got out of there. You got out of there. You left your three kids. She's verbally abusive, physically abusive. She's crazy. I call her the devil. She devil. She
witchy
devil.
Woman.
I wish no man upon her, boy. She, nobody. Anyone who crosses her path. I moved to Florida. I left my four kids there.
In Michigan.
Yeah, they fend for themselves.
No, no, they're fine. She's a good mother. She's a good mom. Good mom, though.
Oldest boy's nine. He'll be fine. And, you know, they go nine down to 4 months.
No, the thing is, first of all, she's a great mom. She's a great mom. And the kids, they're doing great. They're thriving. They're beautiful. They're
wonderful. Now, that comes when you start questioning them.
Yeah.
It's all that she-devil stuff. And I'll tell you, this is Lizzie Borden. I'll tell you, boy, this bitch is nuts. And then you're like, well, where are your kids? And they're over there with her. Well, what about? Oh, she's a good mom. I mean, they're good.
They're fine. They're thriving. They're great.
She married a guy. I'm not too crazy about him. He drinks a little too much, but he's cool. He doesn't talk that much. Fantastic. Just leave the three kids with the world's worst woman. Fantastic. Doing a great job, by the way. And move out of state. Fantastic. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
And just enjoy.
Abundanza.
And no problems, no bad dreams, no karma coming your way. Just get yourself a little job driving a town car, and that's about it. Get yourself a new gal. Really, people can do that? Three kids? I sent one of them Vermont teddy bears on Christmas time.
But that therein lies the mystery of the impact of the family of origin. That guy that can leave like that must have had a dad that left like that because they just don't understand. They have no way to appreciate the impact.
Oh yeah, Angela.
Yes.
All right, let's forget about sex. You have to not get pregnant.
It's too late. I have two kids.
Oh, my God.
I got my tubes tied after the second one, though.
All right, there you go.
Two kids.
When I left my last
Who's raising these two kids?
Yes, I am. Fully raising.
Who is? You and who? Where's the guy?
Me and my daughter's father. The daughter's father, see, I'm not attracted to him in any way.
Oof,
you know?
That's good.
He's got to be a nice guy,
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and I'm not attracted to him, so I figure, you know, that's probably a sign that, you know, he's probably better than the people I've been with.
That's right, the fact that you don't get attracted to him. But how about trying to get a relationship with him?
I'm not even going to try right now. I'm just going to start my therapy.
Good.
I suffer from depression.
All right, good.
All right. Do you have girls, at least? So they're not boys, are they?
No, this ex, he's 36.
No, the child.
The child, one's 2.5 with my husband, and then my daughter is 6.
Do they have one daughter, one boy?
Yes.
All right. Stripper and a cop killer.
Or maybe a cop.
That's a push.
Or could it be a cop, too? You go the other way.
It could be a cop, yeah. All right.
So you look at it positively.
All right. Therapy and tubes tied. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein going to be in here later on this week. Ben, good man. Fan of the show, Drew.
Good. Ben.
All right. Jackie?
Anderson.
Hi.
Anderson.
28.
Here.
What's up?
Hi. God, I feel like I need to do one of those MRIs on my husband. It's so funny you brought that up tonight. I've been a fan of you guys for a long time. I'm really glad you're out there.
Thanks.
I've just been sideswiped. I mean, I've been in a happy marriage for about 7 years, and my husband was diagnosed bipolar. We have a 2-year-old daughter.
Recently diagnosed, or he's been bipolar the whole time?
No, he's recently been diagnosed back in October.
How old is he?
He is 34.
Okay.
And my problem is, I knew something was wrong. I caught him cheating on me. And I knew that he just wasn't right. Like, I wanted to not just kick him to the curb. Like, we had been really happy. I was really happy. I knew that there's got to be something going on here. So,
how'd you catch him?
On the internet.
Yeah. What, they were talking back and forth?
Oh, yeah. They were planning on a little rendezvous in another city.
I'm telling you. Remember when I said guys find chicks' diaries?
Yeah.
And discover stuff?
Yeah.
The internet, the computer, that's a guy's diary. Yeah.
I know.
It's even worse because it's time dates and stamps. It's
footprints. You can sniff it out.
It's fingerprints. Yeah. It's DNA. Yeah. Like, there's no denying anything. That old thing. That was a long time ago. Really? It says January 2005.
Yeah. Yeah, so I confronted him. He said he wasn't sure if he should have gotten married. Gave me the it around on me, kind of.
He caved in though. He didn't go for the denial at the beginning.
No, right? I printed it out and showed it to him. So
how do you? By the way, now how do you do that? In case I'm thinking about cheating, through the internet. Now obviously he erases this email, right?
No, he's really bad at this. He's really bad at it. It was just staring me in the face. I just clicked on, and there it was.
Wow.
He sounds kind of like an a-hole. He has to be.
Well, I was really happy.
Blame this all on the bipolarity. That's not all bipolar.
What's he do? Restaurant?
Wait, what?
What business is he in?
He's in sales.
Oh. Yeah.
Red flag, right?
Yeah, well... But here's the thing about sales. Sales guys are like publicists and lawyers, where everyone has to say to me all the time, not all publicists are egomaniacal a-holes, and not all attorneys are bad. Not all guys who sell, not all, but 90-something percent are despicable.
Mm-hmm.
And sales guys are almost always horrible. And look, they're great guys to go out and have a beer with, but I sure as hell wouldn't want to marry any of these guys.
What kind of sales?
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
All right.
So, that's
you know,
that focuses in an awful lot, and it could get in trouble with the company and stuff.
Well, he travels for his job, and opportunity arose, and I mean, I was really happy. I feel like the man that I married, that I walked down the aisle with, is not the man that I have today living with me.
All right. Well, there's the bipolar aspect. I swear to you, I'm sticking with the sales part, which is
okay.
The whole thing about the sales part is you never know who you're talking to and what they're doing.
Well, and that's what she's saying, that now she sees a new person before she had another one.
Right.
That he was saying that he wished he hadn't gotten married, I mean, that's profound.
Well, maybe he's just flipping it on her instead of being apologetic and backtracking.
Well, that's the other thing. I've been willing to, go through about 3 months from, I'd say, the summer till the fall, trying to say to him, we need to work this out, what's going on? And I just knew in the back of my head something wasn't right. So I got him to see a psychiatrist, and they diagnosed him, and he started Lamictal. And about 6 weeks into it, he got therapeutic, and he was back. The man I married was back.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice.
It was great. It was really, really great. I was totally excited about this, and I was gun-shy because of what had happened
with
the other woman. But I thought, I need to turn the page, and if I can't turn the page,
Her dad was an alcoholic.
That's the weirdest thing about you guys. My family, like, I've listened to your show forever, and I never dreamed I'd be a caller. My parents are still together.
No. I'm just smelling it on your husband.
Mm-hmm. That's a big problem now. Now he's using that to get manic.
Like, no, this is an alcohol. This is all alcoholic mood, this whole thing. I just smell it.
Yeah, I think he is an alcoholic. You're right.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, and he avoided all that by getting diagnosed with bipolarity. This happens all the time. He probably was doing cocaine when he was cheating.
Really?
It all goes together.
Booger sugar.
Yeah.
Well, we have a 3-year-old daughter.
Listen, he needs to get into some recovery. He needs to get honest. This all smacks about... I speak fluent alcoholic, Jackie, and this...
Okay.
I'm translating this into alcoholism. The bipolarity, probably, but I bet there's some drug triggering.
Speak some Choctaw, too, don't
Choctaw,
you?
Oh. Did you bring him into this?
Well, only gynecological
calls.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
he doesn't do.
Well, I gave him, you know, he never groveled, never kissed my butt, never did anything, but I had him back, the guy that, you know, without the groveling and all that. But
yeah, he stopped doing drugs. He took his Lamictal. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, he wanted to just turn the page.
And then he starts drinking.
Well, yeah, he's always been doing that, though. But he basically came back to me, the guy that I married, whatever. But then what happened was recently... He went on a binge where he wanted to be manic again, and he got a phone number from a girl. I saw the phone number on the back of his business card. I confronted him, and I just kicked him out. And I said, you know what? I can't do this. I mean,
okay, that's good.
All right.
Good move. All right, now what?
My question to you, Dr. Drew and Adam, is what about my daughter? Like, am I doing the wrong thing? I mean, I don't want
to... Not when he's that way.
Yeah, not at this point, but here's the deal. Just kicking him out, if you want to end this marriage, obviously...
He's still living with me. I haven't officially put
it. All right, you need to talk to his doctor about the drinking. He needs to get in recovery. You need to go to CODA. Listen, of all the things you can do that are going to improve this situation, there's one thing that will improve the overall prognosis, and that is for you to go to Al-Anon to get a sponsor so you change the dance. So when you kick him out with the intent that he more actively participate in some treatment. For your child, if this relationship is going to heal, you both need to be in some kind of recovery. You need to talk to his doctor about his alcoholism.
Yeah.
You need to make sure he sees somebody who's used to treating addiction, because I guarantee you that's a big, big part of what's going on here. As far as the child goes, well, if you have an alcoholic active addict in your house, that's not going to be good for the child either.
Yeah.
I think what's going to be good for the child is if you both get you codependency recovery, him addiction recovery, and you salvage this relationship.
Me, Squanto. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You and him, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Do all those things.
Yeah.
And
have
look,
a good time.
Don't marry salesmen. They don't. They're horrible guys. I mean, there's three of them that are good, but you're not going to marry that one.
But, Jackie, don't think just because he got diagnosed with bipolar doesn't mean he's not a severe addict. I've seen pretty much every addict I've ever treated has had some other psychiatric diagnosis before they get honest about their addiction and come for addiction treatment. Psychiatrists are used to being fooled by addicts.
Let me explain sales. Nobody wants to get into sales. You just find out that you're not very good at anything else, especially working hard. And, here's the thing about salespeople. That whole notion of, you know, honest day's work for honest day's pay, man, they don't go for that. All right, so what are your choices? Well, be good at something. Well, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to have to read a textbook and memorize some crap and take a test. Screw that. Give me that skin bronzer and that red tie. I'm going to lease myself a car I can't afford and see if I can make some money by hitting the road. Giving the shiv to everybody. Uh-huh. That's really what salespeople are. Yes?
Nice. Not always, but
mostly,
it can
mostly
be
a mess. Mostly not good at anything.
Well, I mean, when your job is to manipulate people.
That's what you do.
You gotta wonder.
Your job is to get people to do stuff they probably didn't want to do or could have done without you.
But there are sales. There are people that bring products and services to people that need it.
Once in a while.
Yeah. So
still can't hang with these people. William?
Hey, Adam and Drew, what's going on?
You're 16. What's happening, my brother?
Actually, I have two questions, if that's okay.
All right.
Okay. The first one is, I'm circumcised, and I was wondering if there was a procedure I can get done to become uncircumcised.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why in the world?
I don't know. I feel like something's been taken from me. I don't know.
I hope this is bogus.
No.
This is bogus.
No.
Well, you can get a nose job, and they can put the extra skin from your nose down there.
Okay, well, that'll work out.
Yeah. All right. Look, this movement was a foot or a penis some years ago where guys wanted their foreskins back, and they were angry at their parents, and they started using medical tape to take what was left of their foreskin and try to stretch it like they're some, like, aboriginal or something. Please, everybody, just play the cards that were dealt you.
Yeah.
Could you just
there's
do
so
that?
Many other more important things in life to focus on.
Yeah, you got.
And if you feel like something's been taken from you, you better examine what that's all about.
You got.
It's not your schwanz.
No.
Okay, and my second question.
You got scrotoplasty to focus on, analplasty. There's many, many, many other more, forms many other, yes. other than the penis. So, all right, what's number two? Number one, we've dismissed as possibly a bogus question. Go ahead, number two.
The second one is, my anus is the size of a
meteor. Yeah. All right. What, William, you should have made that number one, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, all right.
Next. Well, you kind of did.
You kind of did.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, right. we didn't believe you, but you still got through, and that's got to be worth something.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
All right,
there you
buddy.
Go. Good times.
All right.
Yeah.
Good-natured bogus caller.
Well, we have a relationship with our bogus callers like Andy Griffith did with Otis, the drunk in Mayberry. You know what I mean? I'm the sheriff.
He's
you're
the
town drunk. You let yourself in. Here's the keys. Dry up.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yeah, I think we have that. They're bogus callers. Andrea?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, so I just lost my virginity.
Liar, whore, you know it.
Oh, no.
Really?
I just lost it 4 days ago. I have a couple questions.
All right.
Okay, first is, how long am I going to bleed?
Ooh, 4 days? You've been bleeding for 4 days?
Yeah.
Are you on the pill?
Not yet.
Oof, could you be pregnant?
No.
4 days ago? Would you bleed continuously like that?
I was really, really tight, apparently.
Uh-huh. Did so it, he says.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, a lot. And that kind of segues into my second question, is that, like, there's this round soreness in my back, and I wanted to know if that had to do with it.
Someone just left the ashtray on the bed.
Well,
that's happened to Drew. Passionate man.
Pelvic.
That beanbag ashtray.
Right
on.
Oh, my gosh.
Right on the futon. Next thing you know, she's
got
this.
No, it wasn't on the futon.
Pow,
oh, my God.
The small of the back.
So what are you going to do?
And Drew is just, quit complaining, bitch. I'm kicking into overdrive. I swear I think I'm... Relax.
No, seriously, though. Like, what is that weird pain in my back? Like,
well, probably uterine pain. I'm concerned that you're still bleeding and you have an unstable situation. There may be an infection, even. Did the guy wear a condom?
Yes.
Who was the guy?
He was my friend.
Wow. Is it? Yes. Was it one of those things where you worked out a deal to lose your virginity to just a buddy of yours?
No,
this is a fantasy Adam's had for a long time.
Yeah, really have.
No, it's not like that at all. It's just, okay, well, I go to college, and I just didn't want to be a virgin anymore. I was really tired of that whole thing. I felt like I was lying to myself about it.
But that's the question. How did you pick the guy to arrange that?
It was my fault. Actually, that's kind of interesting, because he's my friend. He's actually my neighbor, which is even more confusing and weird. But anyways, he's my friend, and my roommate and his roommate were like, they kind of set it up for us, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, well, I just wanted a moment.
Hold on.
I'm not following you.
No, not either. I'm starting to think you have some interest in this guy.
Yes.
I don't. No,
be
really,
honest.
I don't. I swear I don't.
Be honest.
I swear, I don't have.
Why not?
Because he's kind of, I don't know, like, he's fun to mess around with, I guess. He was fun to mess around with because we were messing around before we actually had sex, so.
That's all right.
I'm with you, but why no interest in the guy?
Because, I don't know, I kind of think he's almost too old for me, and.
How old is he?
He's 21 and I'm 18. I don't know. I guess I just feel like he's too old for me, and he's going to be gone in 6 months. And so,
there you go.
But if he came to you and said, "Look, I'm really find myself falling for you," would you go out with him?
Probably not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just want to lose your virginity.
Yeah. Well, just and I wanted
you can't
to
store
lose
that one for later, Adam.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I wanted to lose it in a moment. Like, I have to justify this. I wanted to lose it in a moment. I didn't want to just be at some drunken party and just lose it like that. I wanted to have like a moment, and he gave me that moment. Like, he was like really nice and everything. It was like
okay, good.
Corny moment with
no, that's good. That's good. Yeah. All right, listen. You need to have a pelvic exam, okay?
Pelvic exam.
Yes, you need to have regular pap smears. You need to do that now. You're sexually active. And that irritation in the back is probably referred pain from your uterus, I suspect, or your pelvic organs. And there can be infections up there. There can be inflammation. And this persistent bleeding kind of bothers me. I don't think that's vaginal bleeding from the trauma.
Yeah.
I think it's something in the uterus because of the back pain.
It was like entering the octagon, what went on with her vagina.
Yeah.
That's no holds barred ultimate fighting. That guy was raring to go. They'd probably been fooling around, you know, for like 3 weeks, like on and off, and then they probably had a 3-hour makeout session,
boy.
With the guy.
Yeah,
and that guy just, that just got a lot of love built up and ready to go, and was probably thinking, this is, you know, I think he wanted to make an impact.
Get what I can. Oh, that's right. He's gonna be leaving behind a memory.
Think about it.
That's right. You're right.
And you know, so often you hear that what happened. You know, when you he was drunk. He was sloppy. It was over before it started. You know what I mean? Who wants to be that guy?
Think about this though. For the rest of you though, that are thinking about following Andrea's footsteps. How's the say the husband or the spouse down the road going to feel when she? What was your first time like? And she's, oh, it was fantastic. I got my neighbor, brought him over.
Yeah,
had my way with them.
Yeah,
wouldn't date the guy in a million years. But listen, give me my moment.
Why talk anymore? Let me pop in the cassette. You know, because I could sit here and talk about it all night, or, you know, we could just go ahead and eat in the den for a change. Come on, kids.
A little Chinese here. Oh,
let's
yeah.
Let's go. Bring it on in. Leave the dog. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's get back to the fun. We got Heather, who's been on meth since 14. She's 18 now. Heather?
Yep.
What's happening, Parky?
Well, I lost my virginity when I was 13.
Ooh, that's, I think we call that sexual abuse.
No. Mm.
How old was the guy?
14. Mm. It was my idea.
All right, well, better than 28.
Yeah.
All right.
But, and then I took like 2 years and I didn't do anything. And, I started having sex again when I was 15.
All
right. And, in that
a lot of folks do that. They take that break at 13, you know.
The perineal break.
Shake it out for a few years, and then you're back on it at 15, you know.
You're
matured. Now you're a woman at this point.
At 15, yes.
Yeah, you were a teenager at 13. Now you're a woman.
Most
this time to start thinking about kids and settling in. All right, so go ahead, Heather.
But, I don't know. I've been having sex from 15 to now, and I've been with multiple people of both sexes, and I get regularly tested for STDs and stuff, so
fantastic.
Like every 10 weeks I get tested, and I'm on birth control.
It's like being a porn star, except for you don't get paid.
Pretty much.
You get tested, you get the birth control, multiple partners of both sexes, you're very
you
careful,
go.
It's just no paycheck.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, also no orgasm.
Well, you're 18, but that's kind of common at 18.
Yeah, now it says you've been doing meth for a while?
Yeah, and I just wondered if maybe that might be involved.
Are you doing it currently?
Until 4 days ago, I was.
Yeah, being on amphetamine can make it very difficult to have an orgasm for many people.
Yeah, but it's been 4 days.
Yeah, 4 whole days. We're gonna do off amphetamine. If you'd use for a long time, mood disturbances and memory problems are the most common things we see. But
yeah.
you've got serious chaos in your life, which means there must have been some early childhood trauma.
Oh, and, trauma.
Yeah, and that
it
affects.
Sexual.
Yeah. Well, whatever. That affects the orgasm.
By the way, it turns sexual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, your dad beats the crap out of you, and you lose your virginity at 13. It's
right.
Your idea.
Right.
Well, it was my mom, and she tried to kill me, but...
All right. Good enough.
Yeah.
So here's the point.
That's called inappropriate laughter.
How about you get yourself some help?
Well, I've been in therapy since I was 12, because my dad actually killed my mom when I was 12. And, basically, it's come down to, they say that, my therapist says that once I stop using drugs, that my main issue, I've dealt with most of my parental, guilt issues and everything, and now it's just getting rid of, my issues with myself.
You can't deal with anything until you're off drugs.
Yeah.
Your brain will not grow on drugs. That's just the nature of the beast. So you need some recovery. You need to deal with that. And let's get going here.
Hmm?
Right? Yeah, that's it. The time has come. I know you feel like you're going to cease to exist without meth, but you won't. You can begin to exist without meth.
Yeah. Talk to poor Judith. Judith?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
Your baby died when it was 7 months old?
That's right.
What happened?
SIDS.
Yeah, SIDS. Oh, it's awful.
Jeez.
And how long ago was that?
That was last September.
So like 6 months ago, not even?
No, it was actually 4 months ago.
Are you married?
October, November, so.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, 4 months ago.
All right. You want to know when it's time to get started again?
Yeah, I want to know if it's healthy that my husband and I have been trying to get pregnant.
Yeah, it is. Here's where it becomes not healthy, is if you make that child responsible for your trauma and your grief. In other words, that child is a separate person that happens to come along after a big trauma. Don't unload that on that child.
You can't name like Shelley 2.
Right.
Nothing like that.
QE2, no. What's that, Judith?
That's exactly what I was afraid of, that I might do that.
Yeah, and so if you need help with that, certainly get it. But yeah. Just be very, very careful. It's hard not to on an emotional level in some sense.
Well, the thing is you have this 9-month buffer from the time you try to replace your kid with a new kid to the time you actually get the kid. So,
and obviously through human history, this is a common thing. I mean, throughout history, most humans did not make it through infancy.
Yeah.
Most. Which, by the way, the whole reincarnation thing is suspect to me because of that fact.
Wow, but
how
true.
Come nobody was a person that died
do
in infancy?
Do the math. Come on, buddy. It's just good science. Please. How dare you?
Most humans didn't make it through infancy.
I was a noble man.
History. And those females that did died in childbirth.
I was a brave warrior.
Yeah, that may have been true.
Yeah, I was a noble, brave, I was a knight. Did you know that? I was a knight.
I heard him.
I know. I like all the people that... All the people that get brought back were from, like, one period, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty medieval.
That's right.
No one goes back. It's like, I was one of the guys chucking the rocks at Jesus.
No one's Chinese.
Nobody's Chinese.
Which is really most of human
history.
Seems
like a lot of Chinese guys back then. No one's Chinese, and everyone's from about 16-something. Yes, I was at the round table.
They're the one they saw in the theaters. They weren't Sumerians. They weren't Africans.
No. They saw Sean Connery playing a part. And they're like,
that's me.
No, or the guy shoveling the... No. No, that's you, buddy. I'm that guy. Yeah, my horse has a hood on him. Yeah, it's great looking. All right, we'll be back. It does, everybody. Oh, yeah.
What else was there in North Hollywood?
Nothing but. All right, there. Thanks for listening. Sorry for being late. Promise to be on time tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Therapy since I was 12, because my dad actually killed my mom when I was 12.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.